Women's rights, what's socialism got to do with it? Below we print extracts from the Socialist Party book It Doesn't Have to Be Like This, Women and the Struggle for Socialism by Christine Thomas. Underpinned by inequality, exploitation, and oppression, capitalism is incapable of bringing about the liberation of women. This would require a revolutionary change in the way that society is organized and structured, so that the means of producing wealth could be transferred from the hands of an unelected elite, concerned only with making a profit, to the democratic control of ordinary working people, socialism. Economic independence, the ending of production for profit and its replacement with democratic collective planning, would enable the freeing up of resources to ensure that everybody had a minimum income and a decent standard of living. This would guarantee economic independence for women, bringing an end to poverty, and allowing women real choice in personal relationships. A planned economy would invest in the provision of public services such as childcare, elder care and facilities for the disabled, relieving many of the burdens which individual families, and women in particular, shoulder today. Together with a drastic reduction in the number of hours that people work, women and men's lives would be transformed. More free time would be available for relationships, for leisure pursuits, and for training and education, allowing women to reach their full potential in a way that is impossible for the majority under capitalism. It would also enable women to participate in the democratic decision-making and running of society, whether in their workplace, local community or on a broader level. Good quality, publicly provided housing flexibly responsive to the needs of ordinary people would relieve the financial and other stresses which expensive or inadequate housing place on individuals and personal relationships. It would mean that when relationships come to an end, for whatever reason, neither women, children nor men would be disadvantaged. Under socialism, users would be able to participate democratically in the running of all public services. A democratically planned and integrated transport system, for example, would take into account the needs of all users as well as the environment. Other services, which are currently in the hands of private businesses and often only accessible to the rich, could be publicly provided and available to everyone. High-quality public restaurants would enable everyone to eat out, rather than prepare meals at home, if that was what they wanted. Similarly, many household chores could be collectively provided. New technological developments could relieve the monotony and grind of many jobs, not just in the workplace, but also in the home. A real right to choose. A socialist health service would also have sufficient resources to harness scientific and technological developments for the benefit of everyone, as well as massively increasing investment in preventative care. While this would benefit women's health in general, it would also give real choice over when and whether to have children. In a socialist society, the companies which produce contraceptives would be taken into public ownership and integrated into the health system. By withdrawing the profit motive, it would be possible to carry out research into safer contraception, both in terms of its ability to prevent pregnancy and its effect on women's health. Similarly, it would be possible to carry out proper research into other issues associated with reproduction, such as menstrual and menopausal problems, and develop safe remedies. Today, even in countries which have relatively liberal abortion laws on paper, a woman's right to abortion is threatened by economic cuts and by moral objections. In a socialist society, access to abortion as safe and early as possible would be available for any woman who needed it. At the same time, women and men with fertility problems would no longer be denied the right to have children because of insufficient resources or moral objections. A planned economy would enable resources to be allocated towards developing technology to aid fertility and massively increasing spending on research into environmental and other causes of infertility. Social attitudes. Capitalism is organized around the private ownership of the means of production and motivated by profit and competition. It is a system based on exploitation and inequality. This is in turn reflected in social structures, in the values and culture of society, and in personal relations. Socialism, in contrast, would be based on collective ownership and democratic control of the economy. Exploitation, inequality, and hierarchy would be replaced by cooperation and negotiation. This would inevitably impact on how people relate to each other, and influence social attitudes. In a society which did not rest on private property and hierarchies of wealth and power, the basis would be laid for the total elimination of violence against women. When women have real economic independence and the profit motive no longer reigns supreme, women's bodies will cease being reduced to commodities to buy and sell. How we look, and how we behave, how we express our sexuality, will no longer be constrained by capitalist double standards and moralizing. But ideas and attitudes which have become deeply embedded can endure long after the material basis for them has been removed. A conscious campaign would therefore have to be waged under socialism, through a democratically controlled education system and media or etc., to challenge and change hangover attitudes from capitalist society, such as sexism, racism, homophobia, and transphobia.